have a good audience, and it's time for us to start. Thank you for coming this morning. Hope we all can be encouraged and that we can learn together from the scriptures on this important topic of the home. It's very vital for us to consider these matters on the home. Let me give you, I think you see on the screen, let me show you just where we are according to the general plan, where we're supposed to be. That screen's still a little bit shorter. Hopefully it will be bigger. But see, we began December the 3rd. If you can see, that's a Sunday. The one's underlined is a Sunday, the number 3. All right, very good. And then the 6th is a Wednesday, so that was the introduction. And this is where we are right now in this portion of our outline. We're looking at the husband's responsibilities and the wife's responsibilities. This is where we are. Today is the 17th. It's a Sunday. And we're focusing on one of the responsibilities of the husband. What I'm trying to do is focusing on one responsibility of the husband, then one responsibility of the wife, then one of the husband, then one of the wife, just to be balanced. And I put the husband first just because, you know, we're the head. So let's go first. So today is the 17th. And let me show you what's going to happen later. After New Year, at the beginning of the year, we're going to have a little bit on parenting, on the Christian duties of parents, according to the Bible. And we're going to spend a few weeks there on the topic of parenting. I think it's very important, very crucial, along with the one with husband and wife. But, I mean, all of them are very important for our lives. And then we might spend maybe 2 weeks, 2 sessions on the role of children. And just to see in general some principles on children. And then over here, you notice that one? Bible teaching about divorce. And we see there's a lot of good questions about this topic. And there's a lot of material we can talk about on the topic of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And so far, this can change. I mean, this is just an outline to keep me on track so I won't just get sidetracked. We might spend, at least 2 sessions. If not, maybe 3 or 4, we'll see, depending. My opinion is that if we emphasize the first part of this outline, the duties of the husband, the duties of the wife, what the marriage is, what marriage is not, we emphasize parents' duties, children's duties, longer down the road, a few years down the road, we don't have to worry about the topic of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We don't have to, because we're teaching what we need to be doing, the truth about these topics. And that's my belief. If you want to fix the society's conduct on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and so on, we need to just teach the duties of the husband, the duties of the wife, and then teach what marriage is, the commitment of marriage, the composition of marriage, the right conduct of marriage, and so on. And then we don't have to worry about the rest. There won't be no divorce, and there won't be no questions about remarriage, and so on and so forth. The Bible just puts it plain and simple. A wife is bound to the man so long as they live it. And that's an example there in Romans 7, 1 through 4. That's an example. But there's an exception Christ gave, so we can look at it then. And then, look at this, the qualities of a successful marriage. I think this also, we need to put emphasis on this. So this is more or less the outline. It's general, but it's for us to keep us organized. I took off a few things that were on the plan for us, just to focus on those. But I think that should be good basic biblical foundation on the home. Okay, let me do this because I'm not going to use this anymore. It was just let's see. Okay, here we go. Okay, what we're going to do this morning is we're going to focus on some of the responsibilities, especially one on the husband. Notice, for example, the husband has several roles in the Bible. The wife has several roles. And then we both in common have several roles in common, responsibilities we both need to fulfill to each other. What I did, the way it helped me, Because there's one responsibility here, one responsibility there. So for me to grasp them in my mind and put them in order, I like to put things in an outline in order, otherwise I'll get lost. I put them in three categories, the responsibilities of the husband. One of them, husband responsible for laboring, or otherwise working. Husband is responsible for loving. And the husband is responsible for leading. So I have these three letters that help me keep them all in perspective. So everything I found in the Bible, I'm going to fit in one of those three. Okay, maybe your opinion, you will say it fits somewhere else. That is okay. It's the way I am putting them right now. But for instance, laboring. I'm just going to go briefly on laboring, but I'm going to dwell more this lesson, the core of this lesson, as long as we have time, on the aspect of loving. Loving. I don't think, it's my opinion, there wouldn't be so many divorces if it wasn't for a loving husband. And yes, the responsibility is ours first, because we're the head, we're the leaders. We're going to give account to God. So a lot of the marriage problems or issues nowadays can be boiled down to an unloving husband. And I'm a man, I'm saying it. I mean, I know, it's something we know, we understand. Of course, there's more to it than that, but if the husband will do his job, it will make the wife's job easier. It will make everybody else's job easy when the husband takes the first step and say, "Yo, you know, it's my first responsibility to love my wife. I'm gonna stand up to it and I'm gonna fulfill it." But notice, for instance, the responsibility of laboring, beginning in Genesis 2:15. We have there, and I did some. I'm doing something in my Bible, something that also helps me put things in order. You know, there's a lot of information, a lot of Bible texts. So I'm highlighting in blue responsibilities of men, and please don't tell anybody, but I'm highlighting in pink responsibilities of women. And I'm like, does pink look good on my Bible? I said, well, it's a color. It doesn't matter. I'm going to see what the woman's responsibility is. It's right there. It makes me easy for me to find it. So I have here one in blue. Notice Genesis 2:15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to do what? To tend it and to keep it. There we see the first principle of laboring, okay? To tend it and to keep it, to work, to be busy. And you know, when we tend it and keep it, when we're working, laboring, it also helps us because we feel they have a sense of purpose. There's no man more depressed or more sad that I can find or that we can find. Is the one who's not doing, has no purpose. He's just laying there. No, doesn't want to, has no job or something that fulfills him. And then in the responsibility is also the fulfillment of our personalities. Okay? So there is the first one. And then also I have mentioned this, but I just want to go over. In verse 23, Genesis 3:23, we see also that even though after, this wasn't exclusively of the Garden of Eden. After they were asked to be out of the Garden of Eden, and then there was a cherubim to guard the door back to the garden. Notice verse 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to do what with the ground? To till the ground from which he was taken. Okay, still work. Still sweat. And then, but the only thing now, the difference is now that here there's a garden, now there's going to be thorns and thistles over here. The difference now is going to be more work. It's going to be harder work on you because of what happened, the decisions you made. So we have there a principle. And then let me jump to Acts 20, 33-35. If someone is going to exemplify this principle of laboring, that's, of course, that was our Lord Jesus. But then also notice the apostles, what they did. Acts 20, verse 33-35. And we have another principle here. Acts 20, and let me, verse 33, it says, I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Notice this, no covetousness here. He's content with what he has. Yes, and you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. And I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus when he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Here's the principle applied: to work, to labor, to be productive in the home. If we do this, if we set up a pattern. See, if that works, then the children work. And we set up a pattern. The pattern goes on and on and on. And we are going to be not only benefiting ourselves through income, but also being able to benefit others. Like it says here, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Okay? So also, moving forward, and I'm going to move forward real quick on this section, because I know it might be already very well understood, but notice 1 Timothy 5:8. If someone finds it first, you please read it. 1 Timothy 5:8. And then the context there is on the widows, but we have a principle, a general principle also for everybody. 1 Timothy 5:8. Another text highlighted here in blue. Okay, so there's some widows here, and then they say, well, the widows honor the ones that are truly widows. And there's these characteristics. But if the widow has children or grandchildren, let them take care of them first, because this is good before the Lord. It says at the beginning in verse 3, 4, and 5. Okay? Because this is good and acceptable before God that they take care of their own widows. So if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for the house, for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Okay? You remember, for instance, and I have the example here of, do you think Joseph might have been a laboring father? It's so beautiful. With one sentence, the New Testament tells you everything about with whom Jesus grew up, with Joseph. They were looking, he was preaching, and then in Matthew 13:55, they say, is not this the son of the carpenter? In other words, his father is the one who labors in that household, and the carpenter takes care of Jesus and Mary and all of their brothers and sisters. Joseph was a laborer, a carpenter. It's so beautiful because in the Greek and in other languages, some words carry out the gender. And this word, of course, here in English, we cannot only by the context that is making reference to Joseph, son of. That means there's a male carpenter, not a female carpenter. If that makes sense, my point that I'm trying to make. Okay, so Joseph labored for his family. And I'm going to use it as an example as I move forward on the next one. But then there's some parents who decide they don't want to work. And there's some parents who do work, but decide they want to spend everything on themselves. So we have the two extremes. Okay, none of them are good. If you are married, just give it time. In both extremes, before your marriage dissolves. Or before she says, you know, I don't want to be here. Because you don't want to work, or you work, but you spend everything on yourself. Either recreation, could be something as innocent, we can say as recreation. It can be something as drinking, I don't know, whatever vice or thing the person has. Or gambling, or anything like that. Wives don't want to be in a place where they're not provided for physically. See, there's physical need here. shelter, protection, work, someone who is productive and taking care of the family. And it's beautiful. And we see we don't need to have a lot of riches to take care of our household. You know, Joseph, he was a carpenter. And it might have been in that time just a common, regular job. Mm-hmm. All right. The husband responsible for laboring. And I want to just do that in a very short way. I know we understand this. But then I want to dwell more today, this morning, on the husband's responsibility of loving. We'll look more on leading, and I think Brother Rick touched on that when he filled in for me on leading, but let me touch on loving. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Where do I get this, that the husband is responsible for loving? Well, that is on Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. And then we have, I have here three verses in blue and one in pink. When the pink is at the very end in verse 33. But notice in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. And then on verse 28, again, husbands ought to love their own wives. And then in verse 33, let each one of you in particular love his own wife. The interesting thing, this commandment is repeated three times in this section. Something that caught my attention is that every time there is love as. Love as. And love as. Or love like this. Love like this. Love like this. In all of these three times, there's a comparison. There's a mark. A bar by which we need to measure the love we have. Well, there's an example by which we must follow the love we have for our wives. And then sometimes we hear in the society, well, I marry her, but she kind of doesn't deserve my love anymore. She's not lovable or whatever. Well, when we commit before God and before man, to love her and respect her for the rest of our lives, that's what it means. See, there's no later down the road, well, not anymore, or no, we committed to that. That was our commitment before God. That's something she deserves. Just because we say, I do, yes, I will do it before witnesses, before God, and then we were declared husband and wife. That's something that already belongs to her now. It's not something that she has to earn. She is hers. She deserves it. That's why a lot of marriages fail or women get discouraged because they feel embarrassed to ask for something that they know belongs to her or they thought belonged to her. By the way, that's the way we convince them. With flowers, with chocolates, with going to the movies and so on and so forth. Okay, yes. Well, but you know my point. The woman will get their opportunity too. Don't worry, brother. It will be okay. Yes, let me know.
No, you're spot on. I'm sorry. Revelation chapter 2, I don't know if you might not get it there, but verses 4 and 5, tell a man what he needs to do if he has lost that loving feeling, as the song goes. But if he's lost that first love, then tells him what to do. And it's not directed toward the object of love, which is Jesus Christ here. It's directed to the one who's lost it, that he needs to repent. And that's changed his entire thinking process. And then he needs to remember. Then he needs to do those things that you just mentioned that got was the part of the first love. And so there is a process by which this occurs, whether or not we're talking about our love for the church, love for Christ, or we're talking about our love for our family.
Correct. Very good point. Thank you, brother. Absolutely, yes. In Church at Ephesus, correct. They have lost their first love. And then he shows how to go back. Definitely. Very good. Very good point. Thank you, brother. Okay, now going back to where we were, let me make this point before I move on. I'm using Joseph as an example. Okay? Joseph, the husband of Mary. Do you think Joseph was a loving husband? I don't think so. I know so. Because we read that in Matthew 1 and in the gospel accounts. You see, Mary was found with child, okay, when they were engaged. And this engagement, contrary to the way we see it, they were married already. The way they arranged society back then in that culture, the Jewish culture. So then, here comes my fiancé or my wife, and she's already pregnant. And the first thing, you know, anybody else could have been hurt. And I don't have a doubt that Joseph was hurt. I'm not saying he never was hurt. I'm sure he was. Most likely he was very much hurt at the finding out of what happened. And the Bible doesn't tell us how much time it passed, but it was enough time for him to think and come up with a solution. And his solution wasn't, well, I'm going to get rid of this woman. This filthy woman, I'm going to get rid of her. I don't want to see her anymore. I don't care about her anymore. No, he said, I'm going to put her away in private. I'm not going to jeopardize or put her in danger of being stoned and killed. What was motivating him? Were they going to give him an award? Did he know he was going to be in the Bible when he was doing that? And then everybody was going to be reading about them? I don't know. The only logic, common sense answer is he loved her. And he said, I'm going to put her away in private. I'm not going to make a fuss out of it. I'm not going to make a big deal. I don't have a doubt he was hurt. His heart was probably crushed. He had enough time to think about a solution and said, well, I'm not going to let my vengeance go free. I'm not going to be bitter against her. I know she's a godly woman. I don't know what happened to her. That's not the one I fell in love with. But I'm going to put her away in private because I love her. And that's what he was going to do before the angel came and talked to him and say, no, fear not to take Mary that wife because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And then that fellow said, okay, that makes sense. And then he abided with what the angel told him. See, he showed her love. See, in this worst of the conditions, Joseph was able to show her love. Now, nowadays, we husbands, we have a really short, temper, or things get in their skin real quick. And for very much less than what Joseph was willing to endure, we're ready to get rid of our wives. That's not love. Okay, so that's the point I'm trying to make. I'm trying to use him as an example. And that's found in Matthew 1 and 18 through 25, that example of Joseph. And it's a beautiful example of love that we find on him. Now, back in Ephesians 5, let me just give you a few characteristics of the type of love our husbands should have for their wives. Notice in verse 25, it says, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives. Notice, just as. There it is. How am I going to love my wife? What is the illustration? What is the comparison? Where is the mold? Just as Christ also loved the church to the point of what? Giving himself for her, that he may sanctify her and cleanse her. But let me just stay there in verse 25. So this must be a sacrificial love, sacrifice. Do you want your love to be seen? Well, you must sacrifice. And it comes to my mind, this picture of this, and I think you've seen it, this woman crossing the street, but there's mud on the street. Well, there's a puddle of mud, and then the man just lays down his coat, and then the woman walks through it. Okay? and sacrifice. It's sacrifice, something that costs. That's what David said. I will not give to my Lord something that has not cost me. Sell it to me. Sell me that vineyard. I want to pay you for it. Because I won't give it to the Lord if it's for free. There needs to be a sacrifice, something that I invested. So this love, the husband for wife, needs to be sacrificial. Something needs to be invested. Time, attention, physical resources, whatever needs to be invested from men. Okay? This is a type of love. We speak about the man being the head of the home, and then we men, we like that topic. Oh yes, we want to make the decisions, we want to be the man, but now when we talk about love, that's also as much as a responsibility that we have, in our society. And I want to make it clear, wives also need to love their husbands. Yes. It's not just from the man, but there's a reason why there's an emphasis more on the husband loving the wife. Remember, in that society, women were second-class citizens. Therefore, I don't need to love something that's just second-hand, that's just here to serve me, that is just a slave, that is just an object. I don't need to love it or love her. So there's an emphasis here. Now, in this society, it is also going in that direction as well. Yes, please, brother.
Titus 2 and verse number...
Yes.
That's a different word, it's a combination word, but it's still, they are to love their husband.
Absolutely, yes, brother. Thank you for pointing that out. And that, I think that's one of the reasons that the society is abuses on women, like we were looking at it last class. And then also the makeup of ourselves, of our personalities. Women need this appreciation. They need this hero who dies for them. They need this romantic gentleman who's going to open the door, give him gifts, bring in a rose, even if it's not her birthday or whatever, just out of the sudden. They love this. Women do. Just little details, little being mindful, sending a text message or calling her just for the sake of, I want to just hear your voice, see how you're doing, or I missed you. Oh, women like this. This is the way they're made. So God is not making a mistake when He says, husbands, make sure you love your wives. Make sure you sacrifice for them. Notice also, this type of love in verse 26 not only needs to be sacrificial, but also sanctifying. Notice, in verse 26 it says, that he might, in Ephesians 5:26, that he may sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. See, sanctify. He's sacrificing for her to sanctify her, or to set her apart, to make her special. Now it's the sanctification. You treat her differently than everybody else. She's a saint in your house. She's put apart. She's special for you. And by the way, again, and I don't want to pick on men, that's the way, that's the reason why she said, I do. Because she believed you were going to sanctify her from a world that treated like everybody else. In fact, a world that probably treated her worse than everybody else. And she said, this man, he's going to sanctify me, treat me specially, like the best woman in the world, I'm going to marry him. That's the type of love Jesus wants, to sanctify. Doesn't Christ have sanctified us in the church? I mean, that's the example He's given us. We come to worship and there's so many blessings we enjoy. I finish teaching my class and I hear some encouragement words. I probably won't get that anywhere else. Or how you doing? Asking me about my life. You see, this is a haven of, it's a shelter of the Word of God, of the family of God. I get to worship God, I get to connect, with Him and hear the Word, be encouraged, ready to do it. So this is the same thing. Sanctify, away from sin. Okay? And then not only sanctifying, of course, keeping this love is going to be pure, away from sin, like I just said. But also notice in verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives, notice again, as their own body. It looks like if men needed an example to see, to understand the type of love. Just as. See? We understand, men understand what it means. Well, I think a lot of us, we all understand what it means to love our own bodies. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe men more. I don't know. We understand what it means to love our own bodies. So, this love needs to be sensitive. To sense, to feel what they feel. Try to put myself in her shoes. And let me tell you, this is not an easy task. The Lord is not saying it's easy. The Lord is saying it's something we need to do. Be sensitive. Okay? Just think about your own body. Think about you taking care of yourself. Well, now apply it to your wife. Think about her when she's the way she's feeling. And then the man who takes care of his wife is taking care of himself. Okay? And then when someone disregards his body or doesn't care about his body and let himself die, that we can call that physical suicide. The same thing applies to marriage. If a man lets his wife die and then doesn't invest anything on her, that's going to be called marital suicide. Same thing. But how can we, moving on, how can we show this love? Okay, we see that it's sacrificial, that it's sanctifying, that it's sensitive. And I'm going to dwell a little bit more on sensitive in another point that's coming up. But how can I show this love? Well, first of all, notice, if you remember Nehemiah 4:14, if you want to take note of it or if you want to read it, if you want, but in Nehemiah, we see that they were building and that they were being attacked by enemies. And then notice the commandment they received to do what? I'm having a hard time to find it here. Let's see if we go. Oh, here it is. Nehemiah 4:14. Notice what the men were supposed to do. Nehemiah 4:14, it reads, let's see. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. And then notice, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, and who? And your wives and your houses. Fight for them. In other words, protect them. Protection. How do I show I love my wife? By protecting her. By showing protection. Like we just read here in Ephesians 5:25. Loving her like Christ loved the church. He sacrificed for her. He rather died first than her being harmed. Protection. That's the way you show love to your wife. Another way you show love to your wife, you remember, and I'm not going to go back and read this, but in Deuteronomy 24, verses 4 and 5, you're going to find there the law of the newlyweds. And the newlyweds, the man, if he was fit to go to war, he was released from his duty of going to war so that he can continue to court his wife. Continue that process of courting his wife. So, how do I show love to my wife today? The same way, continue to court her, just as like the beginning. And I understand, it is not the same times, we're not as free as we were back then, but there's things that you can do in principle, maybe little details, things we can do to continue that courting relationship. And then we hear of husband and wives going out on dates, and that's it. Or going to watch a movie or whatever, going out to eat alone, and sometimes mom watches the children, and then mom and dad can go and just enjoy an hour or two by themselves. I remember one time some friends from school, back in the school of preaching, they asked us to keep their little son. I said, yeah, we will. And Nancy and I, we went and stayed at their apartment and watched little Eli. And then Nancy and I, we were just getting settled. When they come back real quick, and they say, oh no, we missed Eli, we want you to come back. So they just went, watch a movie, and then just drove back, like, straight back. And like, okay. I said, that's fine, at least you went out. But, you know, we need to try to just take it easy. It's okay to let children go. Sometimes we want to let go of them too much, but that's not good. I mean, it's okay to hand them over for a couple of hours and just enjoy yourselves like you were before when you were single. It's okay. Nothing's going to happen. Okay, we need to learn that God gave us the children. We didn't do anything. It's something providential from God. But anyways, continue to court her. And then here's another way we can show we love our wives, by honoring them and considering them, giving them honor. Okay, 1 Peter 3:7, another text that I have here in blue. 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Honor them with understanding. And the King James, I think, says, according to knowledge, with understanding. Know what you're doing. Know them. And here's what I want to make a point on this empathy thing. Okay, having empathy for them. The only thing empathy means is to take their perspective. Try to take their perspective, okay? Without being judgmental of their perspective. Sometimes men, we're quickly to say, well, that's silly. That doesn't matter. Or get over it. No, just wait. Try to take her perspective. Don't judge. And then communicate that you're trying to take her perspective and recognize that emotion that she's feeling, okay? Sometimes she gets afraid for something, and we say, oh, that's nothing. I'll take care of it. Well, she might not want you to take care of it. She might not want you to tell her something to fix it. All she wants you to say, okay, yes, dear, okay, what do you feel? Come here, tell me about it. See what I'm saying? Men, I mean, we like to fix things. And we men with men, we get along real nice because we just fix it and we move on. We don't worry about feelings or things like that. But it's different with men and women. We need to have this empathy, okay, with them. Okay, not try to fix things right away. That's not probably what she wants. She just wants you to be there, to say, yes, I'm here. Let me hear. Let me see what you feel. I'm going to try to understand you, okay, and not just try to flip the page right away, okay? But anyways, giving it honor, 1 Peter 3:7. Okay, and then it's also important to show her some tenderness, affection, appreciation, and kindness. Okay, this world is a rude world. People cut line in front of you and so on. They won't give you the right way sometimes and whatever and things like that. And we need to show kindness at home. We can be kind, very kind to strangers. We need to show the same kindness to our wives, okay? We need to show appreciation. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the meals you cook. Thank you for having the children ready right before church. It's amazing how quickly they can do it. Take a shower, get them ready, get them breakfast, comb their hair. I had to comb. One time I took a trip with Josias and Nathan on my own. Oh, wow, that was something else. And, you know, the hardest thing for me was to comb their hair. Say, how am I going to comb their hair? Which way? How? I haven't never done it. See, some little things that we just need to be appreciative of. And then there's more of our Bible texts here, but let me just summarize a couple of points. Notice Colossians 3:19. I don't want to miss this. Colossians 3:19. Notice verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. And this is so wise. This is so wise that it took so many years for a scientist. And you can buy his book. He sells it on stores. Maybe you might even find it at Walmart. His name is John Gottman, and he's an expert on marital relationships. And he said, there's four things that harm the marriage. I can tell that you're heading for divorce if one of these four things are present in your relationship. All have to do with this bitterness here. All of them. All four of them. Let me mention them to you. Criticizing. Bitterness. Attacking the personality and character of my wife. Oh, you always do this. You never do that. You always this. You all never that. Criticizing her character. You're not criticizing the deeds. You're criticizing her character. Just give it time, is caring for divorce. Now, not only criticizing, also having this contempt, this attacking your wife's sense of self, how she feels, what she is. And this is, in other words, psychological abuse, this contempt. You abuse her psychologically and be sarcastic towards her, you're going to roll your eye, oh, here you go again, same thing, you don't have anything new, and, you know, contempt against her. Just give it time. He's going to head for divorce. Okay? Don't be bitter towards them. Remember what the Bible says. Defensiveness. All women love defensiveness. And I hope I don't make any enemies out of this class. But I have seen marriages being dissolved because of men not loving their wives. And I don't care. I'm going to preach because that's what the Bible says. Okay? But defensiveness. Yes, but. Okay, yes, I'm sorry, but. Okay, yeah, so always defensive. We don't want to accept our mistakes. We can't accept our mistakes. We should accept our mistakes because we make mistakes. And then we always think we're the victim. That's not going to work. Give it time and be always defensive. Never try to listen and accept your mistakes and ask forgiveness without saying any but. You say, yes, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen again. Please forgive me. But if you give a defensiveness attitude, that's going to head for divorce sooner or later. Okay? And then also, he recognized four attitudes. The last one is he calls stonewalling. Okay? I'm going to withdraw from the relationship to avoid conflict. I'm just going to ignore you. Keep talking. I'm going to, whatever. And then, see, you're just being stonewalling. Or you just walk away, leave her talking alone. It's also called stonewalling. Okay, so this is something that hurts marriages. So, in the Bible has always been right. Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Okay? Do not be bitter towards them. I'm going to tell you that this is, we always learn from when we study these type of topics. Now, I can take the risk to say that a lot of marriages can be saved. A lot of divorces can be avoided if husbands would take their steps and, first of all, labor. Second, lead. And third, love. Okay? We might talk about more on the aspect of leading in another opportunity. But don't forget, we'll talk about the wives too, okay? So, if the men felt like there were stones falling upon you, well, it's hopefully we'll learn something new tonight, this morning. Thank you for your attention.